This portion of my commentary concerns Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through verse 10. Verse 6 says, "Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor." Now, first of all, we have to consider who is the instructor Paul might be speaking of here. Well, of course, in the beginning stages of the Galatians' lives as Christians, he was the instructor. The false teachers are now vying for that place of being an instructor. The word share here is translated from the Greek word koinonia. Now, that word koinonia has been well documented over the last 40 years, and especially in charismatic circles. It basically means to share, to communicate, to commune. It's the idea of coming together in one form or another, being joined together. We often use koinonia in relation to the body of Christ. That is, we are joined as bones to another bone in the body of Christ. So in verse 6, Paul says that the one receiving instruction must share with the one giving instruction. Now, share all good things, he says. Now, first of all, people in our generation think of sharing money, paying the instructor for the instruction. Well, it can mean that, but I think in context, it means more than that. You know, what Paul has been saying here is that he has shared or koinoniaed his very life with these Galatians. It was more than instruction. It was his life he was sharing with. He is suggesting to these Galatians, please share your life in return. Please share your life back with me. Because as we've seen earlier, the false teachers wanted to alienate the Galatians from Paul. If they could succeed in that, then Paul would have lost the battle and the Galatians would have lost the gospel. So in one sense of the word, this is a plea on the behalf of Paul to restore that relationship they once had. And that was a sharing of lives, not just a sharing of finances. Paul is more concerned about the relationship he has with these Galatian Christians than he is being paid for being their instructor. I wish that was the case in today's Christian world. Verse 7, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. They were in the process of being deceived. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. Paul is saying that if you accept the false teaching of these false teachers, you are actually mocking God. We mock God in all sorts of ways. And in the context of the disruption of relationships in the body of Christ, Paul would view that as mocking God. And we mock God in our denominational structures today because we have separated ourselves from our brothers in the Lord. So don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Verse 8, the one who sows to please his own sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And in context, the false teachers were sowing to their own sinful nature. They wanted a following. That's the reason why they were teaching what they were teaching. Paul was sowing to the Spirit. He wasn't really concerned about having a following. He was concerned about the salvation of these Gentile Galatians. What you sow, you will reap. So if you sow to the carnal nature, you're going to reap those things. Whether the carnal nature is trying to get a following, or whether the carnal nature is the works of the flesh that we saw in the last chapter. Whatever you sow in your life, whatever you give yourselves to, whatever you spend your time on, whatever comes into your mind, you will reap that consequence. So if you sow good things to the Lord and for the Lord, you will reap good things to and from the Lord. You know, salespeople understand this principle. The more seeds you sow, the better results you get. It works in insurance, especially. When I attempted to sell life insurance years ago, I was told, you gotta make contacts. You have to sow seed, because the majority of the seeds you sow will not reap anything. So if you want to make any kind of sales, you need to sow the seed as much as you can. I think the statistics were pretty high in surviving the insurance business. For every 100 people who tried to sell life insurance, only 2 succeeded. So those recruiting insurance salespeople realize if they want one good agent, they're going to have to sow seeds for 50. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Paul says, always do good, because we will reap. And then he says, at the proper time. That suggests at the Lord's time we will reap. And the Lord's time may not be our time. It's a simple matter of fact. You can extend love to another person, but there is no guarantee that that person will respond to your love. Jesus extended love to us on the cross, and many, if not most people, don't respond to that. A husband can extend love to his wife or vice versa, and that does not guarantee that love will be reciprocated. But still, we must extend the love anyways, because we aren't really looking for a reciprocation of that love, or we shouldn't be, or else our motives are wrong. We love because the love of Jesus is in us, and therefore we love those who come across our path on a daily basis, and we love with no expectation. We love our wife, we love our husbands, with no expectation, because that's real love. If we loved our husbands and wives with the hope of receiving love in return, well, that's false motives, and it doesn't work anyways. The giving of love to another is no guarantee you will get it back, but you still have to love. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's a priority here. We love everyone when the opportunity passes us by, but we especially love those who belong to the household of believers, the family of believers. That is our first priority. So if you have X amount of money to give, and a believer needs money and a non-believer needs money, unless the Lord says otherwise, you give to the believer. You give to the one to whom you are joined to. And Paul is saying this because he is joined to these Galatian Christians, has been from the beginning. But that joint is beginning to be weakened now because of the false teachers. And he's saying, guys, share your lives with me. Share good things with me. Do good to me because I am doing good to you. That's the point to what Paul is saying. For more information, visit my Galatians commentary at stevesweetman.com. www.gracefulbible.com.